Reading from the English Standard Version, 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6. Hear the word of the Lord. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Heavenly Father, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We ask, Lord, this morning that you would open our eyes that we may see the wonderful truth of your word and give us grace that we may clearly understand it and give us power that we may freely choose to live it. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. We have already seen that another one of the major points of John's first epistle is to combat false teaching in the church. So he turns back to that in our passage this morning, and he starts off by telling us not to believe every spirit, but to test the spirits to see if they are from God. That's his opening verse there. The Greek word translated test was a very common word used in the first century to refer to precious metals. You would test precious metals, perhaps gold or silver, to see how pure it was. That's the idea that John is conveying here. And he's saying Christians are not to believe every teaching that they hear with no discernment. But instead, anytime you hear a sermon or anytime you read a book or anytime you watch a clip on YouTube, hear a speaker, go to a seminar, don't just automatically believe everything you hear. Test it, he says. He uses the word spirit in verse 1. Do not believe every spirit. The spirit in this sense is the spirit behind the person, or the spirit behind the teaching. And the way John describes it, there's really only two types of spirits behind teaching. It's the spirit of the Holy Spirit, that is reflected by teaching that comes from God, or there is the spirit of the Antichrist, or a demonic spirit. And the way you determine that, which of those two things is the source of this teaching, is by testing. And the reason he says to test is because many false prophets have gone out into the world. End of verse 1. And we know, even with a cursory understanding of the Bible and church history, false teaching, false prophets have always been a problem. You think back to the Old Testament, there are very detailed warnings against false teaching. There are dire consequences for false teachers. In fact, you might remember the penalty for a false prophet in the Old Testament was to stone them to death. Now, that's part of the civil law that has been abrogated. That's not what we're to do today. But it is that serious. It is a matter of life and death. It is a matter of eternal souls. And we are called by the Scriptures to discern false prophets, call them out for what they are, and avoid sitting under their teaching. And that's what John is calling us to do this morning. I never cease to be amazed at the amount of crazy teaching out there that is done in the name of Christianity. In fact, it was one of the greatest blessings recently to sit down with these new families in my office. We met last Sunday with several other elders, and as we always do when we receive new members, each one of them gave their testimony. There were six of them, and if I counted right, four of the six, that's a majority, had some type of testimony to some type of crazy, unbiblical teaching that they were exposed to earlier in life. And then one of our elders jumps in, and he tells a very similar story. That happens all the time, and I know just anecdotally, people in our church, many folks who have just come out of false teaching backgrounds, and by God's grace, doing exactly what John is describing this morning through the blessing and grace of the Holy Spirit, came out from that. That's what John's calling us to do. You can't afford to be naive when it comes to spiritual teaching. And I think in our passage this morning, you can break this down to what we might call three tests. Three tests to determine truth from error. Now, from time to time, I get the question, why is it so often three? I've never had a real good answer for that. I've always just kind of thought, yeah, you know, public speaking, you got 24 minutes, 3 minutes for the intro and the conclusion, and then you get 7 minutes for 3 points, and that kind of taps into everybody's average attention span. Then I heard Terry Johnson a couple weeks back when he preached here. He did a three-point sermon, and he said it's 3 points because creation is Trinitarian, which I thought was a much more theologically astute answer. So why three? Because creation is Trinitarian. So let me give you the three questions, and then we'll take 7 minutes to look at each one. Test number one. Do they confess Jesus has come in the flesh? Do they confess Jesus has come in the flesh? Test number two, are they indwelt by the Holy Spirit? And test number three, do they profess apostolic truth? Okay, let's break those down one at a time. Number one, do they confess Jesus has come in the flesh from God? Look at verse 2. He says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. When John says God has come into the world through Jesus Christ in the flesh, Just pause for a moment and be reminded, this is not just a casual, throwaway, incidental kind of statement. If you really think about it, that is shorthand for the heart and soul of the gospel message. That is shorthand for the heart and soul of the biblical message. That sometime around 2,000 years ago, on a particular day, on a particular date, at a particular time, at a particular historic location, the eternal Creator, the second person of the Trinity, was born into this world and took on the flesh of a man. He came into history. He entered into this world, and that is the heart and soul of the gospel message. I think that's exactly what John is referring to here. It's shorthand for the gospel as it is presented in the Bible. We were reminded this morning, one of our membership vows, we asked new members, do you receive Jesus as he is offered in the gospels? The whole Jesus, the biblical Jesus, not some made up Jesus or some Jesus as we might like him to be, not a Gnostic version of Jesus, but Jesus, as he is presented in the Bible, and particularly that he came into this world in the flesh. Remember, the heresy that John is combating here is that proto-Gnosticism, that Greek philosophical idea that physical matter is bad. And there are various Christologies associated with Gnosticism, but every one of them deny his physical body in some shape, form, or fashion. Either it's a hallucination or a spirit came upon the body and left. But they deny that Jesus came in the flesh. And the first test that John gives to determine whether teachers are true or false, or do they believe the truth about Jesus? They believe Jesus as he's presented in the Gospels. In particular, do they believe Jesus is Jesus Christ in the flesh who has come from God? And I'll just say, every religion in this world other than biblical Christianity and every cult in this world do not affirm that. Without exception, every other religion denies that Jesus is the Son of God who's come in the flesh. John goes out of his way in this letter to emphasize that Jesus has come in the flesh. And you can eliminate a whole host of heretics with just that first question alone. The Gnostics, the New Age movement. You know, most of the New Age movement today has some version of Christology. It's typically the idea that there is a spirit of Christ that can descend on any person, that the spirit of Christ descended on Jesus, just like it's descended on people today, and then it goes away. That's not what John says. That's not Jesus as he's presented in the Gospels. That's a heresy. Liberal theologies. Liberal theology has wreaked havoc in the last 150 years in the United States and in Europe, across the world. Liberal theology is that slippery slope and that deceptive approach that will say things like, yes, I believe in the resurrection. I can say the Apostles' Creed, but I don't believe in a literal bodily resurrection. That's a heresy. That's not Jesus Christ as he's presented in the Gospels. Cults, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, they all deny Christ in the fullness of his deity in some shape, form, or fashion. So test number one, do they confess Jesus has come in the flesh? Do they confess Jesus as he is presented in the Gospels? Test number two, are they indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Look at verse 4. Little children, remember that's his term of endearment for us, you are from God and have overcome them, that is the false teachers. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The second test to determine false teachers is found in verse 4. Do they possess the Holy Spirit? Do they possess divine life? Have they been born again? Would be another way to put that. Our life, he says, verse 4, if we confess Christ in the flesh, comes from God. In other words, we are the children of God. Remember, that's the theme of all of chapter 3. That we've been adopted into the family of God by the rebirth of the Holy Spirit. And now we are from God. In other words, we're his children, and our motivating source is from God. Our life is from God. Our teaching should be from God. And for this reason, we have overcome the false teachers, or we are in the process of overcoming false teachers. This word overcome is nikao. Nikao. It means to have victory, to overcome. My children, as far back as I can remember, have been obsessed with Nike. Nike merchandise, Nike jerseys, Nike tennis shoes. Nike is the English transliteration of Nikao. It means victory. It's the same word Jesus uses in John 16:33 when he says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome. Nikao, this word. We have overcome, and we are overcoming false teachers because he who is in us, the Holy Spirit, is greater than he who is in the world. Greater means stronger. So you have the idea that these false teachers and all false teachers claim to be from God, claim to be teaching from God. But John says God's not their source. The Holy Spirit is not in them. Believers possess the Holy Spirit. False teachers do not. False teachers possess a spirit of Antichrist, and we are able to overcome false teachers because of the Holy Spirit in us as we read God's word and discern false teaching. So a true mark of a false teacher is one who does not have the Holy Spirit. Third, do they confess Jesus has come in the flesh? Are they indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Third, do they profess apostolic truth? Look at verse 5. They are from the world. The they there contrasts very strongly with the you in verse 4. See, look at verse 4. You are from God. Verse 5, they are from the world. That is a night and day contrast. Darkness and light contrast. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Do they profess apostolic truth? Do they preach the word, teach the word accurately as it has been handed to us through the prophets and apostles? False teachers are from the world. Their source is godless humanity. Their motivation is from godless humanity. The world system that is opposed to all things godly. And it should not surprise us that the world listens to them. That's what he says. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. See the contrast there? If you're in Christ, we're from God. And so our motivating source of life and teaching is from God. Their motivating source for life and teaching is from the godless system of the world. So anytime we hear a message from anyone who claims to speak from God, we need to ask the question, are they declaring the Bible? Are they teaching what the Bible teaches? Are they teaching the Word of God, or are they twisting it? And are they expounding the Word of God in a way that is in keeping with historic Orthodox Christianity? You know, we're not Lone Rangers. We're not called to be Lone Rangers. We have 2,000 years of Christian history behind us and 2,000 more of Old Testament history behind that. We come to here in a context and Scripture is above all else, but tradition is a useful safety net. You never want to be on the cutting edge of theology. That's a dangerous place to be. He concludes here with a summary statement at the end of verse 6. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That by this we know, I think, refers to all three of these tests, this whole passage. These are the ways we know error from truth. So here's a summary, I think, of what John is saying to us this morning. You must test everything you hear. Ask the questions. Does this affirm Jesus as he's presented in the Gospels? Is this marked and characterized by the Holy Spirit? And does this reflect true apostolic teaching? And when you do that, coupled with the indwelling Holy Spirit, you will overcome, you will continue to overcome, nikao, false teaching. Friends, that's something we need to be reminded of, I think, regularly. We live in such a relativistic age. And this whole notion that there are some things that are true and will always be true, and there are some things that are false and will always be false, and your eternal soul depends on that distinction, and the way we know it is because God has revealed it to us in his book, that is just as countercultural as you're going to find today. That message is not what the world is sending. And that message is not what the world is receiving. But that's exactly what John is commending to us this morning. And when you receive the apostles' teaching, when you receive Christ as he's presented in the Bible, and you live a life according to that truth, then you can know God, you can walk with confidence and victory, and you don't have to settle for a cheap, temporary substitute, which is what every other religion has to offer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth of the gospel. We thank you that Jesus Christ entered into this world in the flesh. We confess that joyfully this morning. Lord, asking that you would give us discernment by the inner working of your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.